Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Tonight's another night where God wants to do something, but I'm going to warn you right now. Can everyone just hold on to your jaw? Okay? Brace yourself. Okay? I'm warning you. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but has anyone come to be challenged? No, I mean, I could just tell jokes all night if you want. No, that used to be a pastime for me, a comedy show. But I don't know. I just know that when I was a part of a church and not the pastor of a church, I know sometimes I used to come to church. I'm going to say sometimes, not every time, but sometimes I used to come and say, God, just challenge me today. You know, it was like, you know, it's like when you go to the gym and you just really want to have a decent workout. Well, you know what? I'm just wondering whether you would be up for it tonight. I'm being honest. I'm being real. I'm sort of prepping you so that you're getting ready. What I'm saying to you is if you don't allow God to do something, if you don't open the door, okay, He won't walk through. So what I'm saying to you is, I'm trying to be diplomatic. I'm trying to say, open the door for Him and say, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, I'm up for it. Are we okay with that? Okay, don't say I didn't warn you, in Jesus' name. Okay. So, if you come to Lifehouse for any period of time, you know that I really love preaching out of the Old Testament. I love it because it's not just the Old Testament in the sense of irrelevant Testament. It means that it's not the current covenant that we are under. But listen, for us to fully appreciate the new covenant, we are supposed to look to the old because the Bible says it's a shadow of things to come. It's a picture, a physical picture in the physical of what God is now doing in the spiritual. So you can read the Old Testament and go, okay, so what God was trying to do back then in physical people, He is now doing spiritually inside of us. And so we know that God wanted to bring His people, Israel, into a promised land. And I've said this many, many times, and I'm going to say it again because we've got so many new people, and maybe you've never heard this, but God has a promised land for you. And your promised land looks a little bit different to mine. Promised land is when God wants to take you to a place where you would say, God, I love my life. Some of you are like, I don't think I can ever utter those words. Friends, that's not the plan of God. He wants you to be able to say, things may not be perfect. Things aren't all that they could be, but I love my life. That's called the promised land. These people were in slavery and God says, I don't want you to be in slavery. I want you to be free and I want you to be in a promised land that you love and that you would have a glow about your face. That when you walk in at work on Monday, they go, what's up with you? We're all dragging our feet because we've got Mondayitis, but you seem to be on top of the world. It's like, because I went to Lifehouse. Yeah. You'll warm up in a moment. It's okay. We're just getting ready here. This is just the stretches. You know the stretches? We're just doing the stretches. Brace yourself. Here we go. So God says, I want you to go and inherit the land. There's your land, He says. There's your promised land. And then He says, oh, by the way, there's inhabitants there. There's inhabitants. There's people that are already living there. In other words, I've got the land for you, but you need to go and possess it. So every one of you have got a plan and purpose from God, but you've got to go and possess it. Some of us are waiting for it to come to us. God says, no, you've got to go to it. And you've got to make your way there. And there are inhabitants in the land. And what that should tell us is that with every promise that God gives you, there's going to be some problems. With every opportunity that God gives you, there's going to be a bit of opposition. Wherever there is a dream, there's going to be some sort of disaster. That just seems to be the ways of God. And some of us are shocked when we go, oh, that's the plan for me. But then when we are trying to take that possession, we find it a little bit difficult. We think, oh, it mustn't be the plan of God for my life. What Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading where any promise that God gave had to come with a little bit of opposition and there was some problems in taking? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we've got to get our head around this, that God says, okay, so there's some inhabitants there and this is what God told them to do with the inhabitants. And you read this over and over and over again. God says, drive out the inhabitants. In actual fact, and please get this, God actually says, annihilate them. Get them out of the land. There's your promise. Get the inhabitants out of the land. Now listen to what he's saying. Don't live with them. Don't settle there with them. Don't allow them to dwell there with you. So the children of Israel go, God, we're hearing your voice. It's all good. We get it. And so off they go with Moses and with Joshua. And Joshua begins to take over city after city. And they take over Jericho. And everyone is beginning to hear the victory of God's people. And then we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 9, verses 3 to 12. I'm going to read it for you. It's going to be on the screens. So read along with me. It says, but when the people of Gibeon, everyone say Gibeon, heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys, wait for it, with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They were pretending. They were trying to deceive God's people. Please be aware there is a devil who wants to deceive you about your destiny, friend. If you don't think you are in a battle, then you've already lost. He wanted to deceive them. It says they put on worn out patched sandals and ragged clothing, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, we have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us. Listen to their deception. The Israelites replied to the Hivites, how do we know that you don't live nearby? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you. They replied, we are your servants. But who are you? Joshua demanded. Where do you come from? They answered, your servants have come from a very distant country. We have heard of the might of the Lord your God and all that he did in Egypt. What was Gibeon trying to do? Israel, take it easy. We're not going to hinder your promise. We're not going to hinder your future. We're not going to hinder you. We're way over here. We're very distant from you. It's okay. You don't need to kill us. You don't need to drive us out. Just we'll stay right out of your way. We come from a distant country. And the truth was they lived 3 days away. Actually, where they actually lived was in the heart of the promised land. And the sad thing is Israel made a treaty with them. What God said you need to drive out, they were making peace with. What does this represent to us? Gibeon represents a habit that God says, I don't want it in your life. It's an attitude that you've had for many years that God says, I don't want that thing in your life. It's something that we do that God would say, listen, it's not going to benefit your future. But sometimes the enemy says to us, you don't need to drive that thing out of your life. You don't need to drive that attitude out of your life because it's such a distant, distant thing. It's not going to affect your future. You can hold on to that little bit of a bad attitude. You can hold on to that little bit of addiction. You can hold on to a little bit of this. You can hold on to a little bit of that. It's so far away. Wait until you're 47, then deal with it. Next thing you know, bam, bam, it affects your relationship right now. Next thing you know, you actually can't hold on to a job because of it. Next thing you know, you can't even turn up to work. You can't hold on to a relationship. You lose your license over it. You go broke over it. And the enemy can deceive us to make us think, make peace with me. And God says, when did I tell you to make peace with anything? You are to drive that thing out of your land, kill it, annihilate it. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for your life. What they were making peace with, God said, you should declare war on. I wonder what is going on in my life. I'm going to be gentle on you. Let's talk about me for a moment. I wonder what's going on in my life that God would say, I want you to declare war on that thing. And I'm going, but no, it's okay. It's it's a distant thing, Lord. It won't really affect what I've got to do for you. Do you know what they actually did with these people because they made a peace treaty with them? The Bible says they made them their slaves. They made them their slaves. And for some of us, we don't want to drive that thing out of our life because it's not that bad. What I'll do, Pastor Rich, is I'll just control it. I'll just make it my slave. I'll make it work for me, actually. So I won't drive anger out of my life. I'll make it my slave. It'll be really quiet when I want it to be quiet. But when someone really annoys me, I'll say, come on, slave, get out of that thing. And all of a sudden, anger can have its work again. Listen, what you think is a slave today becomes your master tomorrow. And God would say, listen, don't make sin your slave. God says, kill the thing. Kill it dead. Don't let it get back up out of the ground. Don't make a peace treaty with what God has told you to declare war on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I go a little bit deeper tonight? Are you okay so far? Okay. How many of you watch those films where the serial killer is chasing the girl around for 80 minutes? He's tried to kill her multiple times, but she's just managed to get away. And over and over again, this guy is trying to kill her. Right? How many movies do I need to tell you where this is the plot? And over and over again, and she just narrowly escapes death, and she narrowly escapes death. Eventually, they're in a cabin in the woods, and there's a fight that breaks out. And accidentally, she grabs the candlestick, and she hits him over the head, and he falls to the ground. And she just leaves him there. And then she, I don't know, starts sending emails and stuff. Like, get out of there, girl. Actually, I've got a better idea, girl. Well, let's see if you know your films. Let's see if you know your films. So she's doing whatever she does. What happens next? He comes back to life. Every single time he comes back to life. I don't know about you, it's like, girl, kill him. Just stay there. I'm happy to watch it for 15 minutes. Just kick him, kick him, kick him, kill him, kill him, kill him. Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. But no, he falls down and she just leaves him there. He tries to kill her 30 times. 30 times and just a bit of a candlestick, he's out and she just leaves him there. Kill the guy. Kill the guy. I'm happy to watch the credits go up. But no, she just hits him a little bit. I reckon heaven yells out at you sometimes. Kill it. Kill the habit. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Destroy it. Stop yelling. Stop yelling. Kill the yelling habit. Kill the yelling habit. Kill it. Kill. Kill it. Because he's going to get up and he's going to come after you one day when you're least expecting it. He's coming after you. Oh, Pastor Richard, you don't know. You don't realize how much I've changed. I've changed so much. I used to be a heroin addict, but I've changed so much. Now all I do is smoke cigarettes. Well done. But as far as I can tell, you're still addicted to something. No, it's okay. It's under control. Today it is. Today it is. Now this is a pastor talking to you in love. Doesn't get you to heaven or send you to hell, by the way. It's just about having an awesome life on earth. And I'm just wondering, am I in a room full of people that are not going to make peace treaty with addiction? Don't make peace treaty with a bad attitude. Don't make a peace treaty with anything that God says, kill the thing. Don't make a peace treaty with it. Don't be at peace. How's that as a soundbite? Record that. The pastor said, don't have peace. Don't have peace with bad habits. Let it trouble you to the day you die. Let it trouble you. Let it trouble you that you know that this is not what God wants for your life. 2 Kings chapter 13. Come on, we know the story when Elisha the prophet says, or the man of God says to the king, Elisha says to the king, and he says, strike the ground. Remember he says, strike the ground? And the king strikes the ground how many times? 3 times. And Elisha, the man of God, got angry at him. Why? Why did you only strike the ground 3 times? I can imagine the king was going, I thought that was a good effort. Like you just said, strike the ground. If I had struck once, I would have thought that was enough. But he struck 3 times. He would have thought I'm going over the top. But Elisha got upset with him and he said, no, You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times and then you would have completely annihilated your enemy. I think sometimes we give out whatever it is, we give it a little bit of a jab or we give it a little bit of a poke and God would say, don't do that, kill the thing. Kill the thing, keep working on it and keep working on it. And when I say, now this is not about works and about judgment and about rules. No. This is about saying, I want to be like Jesus. That's what this is all. I just want to be like him. And until I'm like him, I'm not going to settle. I'm going to keep my attitude right. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I want to talk like him. I want to live like him. I want to look like him. I want to be like my Savior. Imagine a whole church where everyone was just determined to not settle. Don't settle. Can I really mess up your life a little bit? Can I? Hey, ladies, if he's not treating you right, don't settle. Oh, but he's not like my other ex-boyfriends. They used to really, really get stuck into me. This guy just swears at me once in a while. Don't settle. Don't make peace. What are you making peace with? What are you making? But oh, you don't understand, Pastor Richard. They're all a pack of morons. Really? Yeah, there's not one man of God out there. No, I reckon there are a few. I reckon there's some real awesome guys, actually. Come on, what are you settling with that God says declare war on? You know, Pastor Richard, I used to want to kill myself. I used to want to literally suicide. These days, I've just got a very, very low self-esteem. But that's okay, isn't it? No, not really. And I don't think God wants you to live your whole life with just a low self-esteem. Now, come on, let's go on a journey and let's believe what God says about you, that you're his daughter, you're his son. You've got a plan. You've got purpose. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? Come on, give the Lord a huge shout. I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. I believe it, friends. Because see, this was the outcome. This was the outcome. Well, let's back up a little bit. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read this. It says, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, listen, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give to your ancestors. And I said that I would never break my covenant with you. Verse two. For your part, everyone say your part. Yeah, for your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in the land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars, but you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. What's God saying? If you're not going to fight, I'm not going to fight either. Did you hear that? God says, you know what? I'm trying to take you somewhere. I'm trying to build your life. And you're very busy making peace treaties with everybody. And I'm trying to change your life. Now, the beauty of this scripture is God says, I want to drive out the inhabitants. You know what he's trying to say? God says, I'm going to do the work in you. You just have to have an attitude of not settling. Because the minute you settle, God says, well, I can't do anything now. God wants to fight with your enemies and drive out your enemies out of your life, and you're making friends with them. So here you are living in your house, and God says, next door to you should be another brother, fellow people, good attitudes. But you know who you've let live next door? Mrs. Badmouth. Mr. Negative. And you know what? We're supposed to go, what are you doing in this land? You're not supposed to be here. Get out of my land. Well, we go, hey, how you going, Mr. Negative? How you been? Do you want to go grab a coffee? Let's go grab a coffee. How about you, Mr. Sexual Lust? Hey, let's sit down and have a chat together. And God says, are you kidding me? You're supposed to be kicking him out of your land. You're supposed to get him out. Where are you living? What have you settled for? God says, listen, I don't need you to even do the work. Just don't settle. Don't settle for it. And when you keep that attitude of not settling, God says, I promise I will come in with the power of the Holy Spirit and I will sweep out your land. I will clean out your land. I will take you to where you need to go. As long as you have an attitude of saying, God, I will not settle. How many of you know that God does have a huge life ahead of you? Don't settle for average. Don't settle for average. You know, as a church, you know, we don't settle for average. We don't just sort of go, well, the sound is average, but that's good enough. No, no, no. We're going to try and do it until it's our excellence. And the band don't go, well, listen, I know some of the lyrics. Yeah, that's good enough. No, no, no. We learn the lyrics because it's called excellence. Listen, have a spirit of excellence. You know the Aussie, near enough is, she'll be. No, she won't be right. She'll be very wrong, actually. And we'll all be completely offended that she wasn't right. Who told her she's going to be right? She won't be right. Near enough's not good enough. It's not. Excellence. Don't settle. Listen, come on, let me be really blunt with you. Don't settle for addiction. Well, you know, I'm not as addicted as I used to be, and that's all that matters. No. Your mum and dad might be happy with that, not your father in heaven. He says, no, I've got so much going on. And why is this so important? Judges chapter 3, the band are going to join me in a moment, and we're going to put some things to death. Is that all right? Did I warn you or not? I did warn you. Some of you are like, oh, man, bad night to come to church. Man, what was I? Where's the funny preacher? Where's the guy that just sort of told us everything's going to be all right in Christ? Yeah, we didn't let him up here tonight. Tonight's the don't settle. I love you. Listen, I love you too much to allow you to settle. You are better than that. And you are called to far more than what you even know or imagine. God's got so much for you. Come on. When you think about where God's taking you, and what God's got on your life, when you think about it, I don't know whether you can see it, but God is saying, come on, I need to prepare you for that day today. So that when that opportunity comes, you are ready to go. Come on, don't settle. Let God do his work. But this is the frightening part. It says this, the Israelites lived among the Canaanites. Can we get it up on the screens, guys? Yeah, is it? The Israelites lived. Can we read it out together, actually? Watch how powerful this is. 1, 2, 3. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Okay, they took their daughters. The children of Israel lived amongst the Gigabites and the Vegemites and all those people, right? And what happened in the end? Their children ended up marrying. Did you hear it? So here's my point. What you choose to live with, your children marry. Yeah, write that one down. Yeah, write that. What your children see that you're just completely happy with, yeah, I know we're supposed to be like Jesus, but who can do that? Your children will marry that attitude. And then they get married one day to their partner, and then they have that same attitude. But listen, they're not married to the same girl that you're married to. So they try and behave the same way with their wife, and it doesn't work out too well because their mum was just a very gracious person. But that girl, no, man, she grew up on Instagram, Facebook. She's not tolerating anything, this chick. She's not going to tolerate that attitude. And all of a sudden, your son now is in a relationship that he can't seem to manage because he's married into attitudes that he saw in you, dad and mum. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sorry if I'm being a little bit blunt with you today, but listen, that's how it works, friends, because some monkeys see, they will do. But I'm telling you, we also have the opportunity to be such a great example to them, an example of love, an example of sacrifice, an example of a sacrificial love, that our children will do the exact same thing there too. We get an opportunity to show them what we want to show them, because what you choose to live with, your children will marry. But this is the opportunity we get. So what's the answer here? Well, Colossians chapter 3. Come on, let's come into the New Testament now. Colossians chapter 3. So it says, so put to death. So put to death. I'm going to say that one more time. So put to death. the sinful, earthly things lurking within you have nothing to do with. Listen to these words. Put to death, have nothing to do with. That's what that's how the Bible speaks to us. Do you know what, do you know the way we read it? Make them your slave and hang out with them once in a while. Come on. Are we willing to do this? I think some of you would be hugely disappointed if I said, you know what, guys, come on, you know, we've got to live a big life now. I mean, for me, like, you know, I only smoke drugs 3 or 4 times a month now. Come on. I think some of you would go, did I just hear correctly? Did he just say, yeah, he only smokes drugs 3 or 4 times a month? Yeah, but you should have seen how I used to be. No, no, you guys are expecting me to live a life where I have put these things to death. Well, guess what? It's the same Holy Spirit, the same Jesus, same God the Father, same power, same blood, same name of Jesus. Everything that is within me is within you. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. Same God. If anyone believes what I'm saying, give the Lord a huge shout. Come on. Let's put these things to death. Let's get away from these things. Let's live for God. And there is more spit coming out of this mouth than... Why am I preaching like this? Because I talk to couples and I just think, why are they living among the Hittites? Why are they allowing them to dwell there? Who said they're allowed to dwell in their relationship? Why are we tolerating this? Kick them out. Get them out. Amen. Some of you know my story. That, you know, my parents, I'm going to just keep harassing you and harassing you because I love you so much. This is where this comes from. I just love you so much. I came I was raised until I was about 17 years old where my parents would yell and scream and yell and scream and yell and scream. Therefore, I should be in a relationship of yelling and screaming. But I just said, no, I'm going to put this thing to death. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm not going to yell just once in a while. I'm not going to make it my slave, but when I need it to, it'll come out. No, it's going to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I don't want to mess with that. Do you know I don't walk around swearing? Did you know that? Do you know why I don't swear though? Because if I got really excited up here and in the heat of the moment, I'd go, guys, you don't understand, God is just... I don't think that would go down too well. But if I just swear once in a while, just that Macca's a little bit and swear when I go to the thing and when I stub my toe, I just swear just a little bit. You know what? If I get a little bit excited, out comes the F-bomb. I don't think the podcast audience around the world would really enjoy, you know, like, wow, we've actually got a beep Pastor Richard's podcast around the world now. No, so you know what? So I don't go near that stuff. I just don't make it a part of my vocabulary. I just don't. You hearing what I'm saying? I don't joke with it. I don't play with it. I've driven it out of my land. Now this, of course you would know, I've got many things that I've got to keep driving out of my life. I've just talked about the things that I've got out of my life. But this isn't like laundry time where I start telling you the things that I'm still trying to drive out of my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's plenty of things. But so have you. I'm just challenging all of us. Come on. Never, ever settle. Now, some of those things are just downright evil. Let me tell you what I think is a problem to God. Your small mentality. God can't use me. Yeah, drive that out of your lane too. I wasn't raised on the right side of the tracks. Yeah, get that one out of your life. Yeah, that one could definitely die a death. Oh, I'm not good looking enough. Yeah, kill that one. Yeah, I'm not smart enough. Yeah, let's smash that one. Let's, come on. It's not always about evil. Sometimes it's about little things inside of our life. So I'm just wondering, am I in a room full of people who love Jesus so much that you're not going to let anything hinder your destiny? Hey, it's not confession time. I don't want you to talk to anyone about it necessarily, to be honest. Because they actually aren't your hope. God is. I'm just wondering whether I'm in a room full of people where you know what you've settled with, where you're going to say, I'm going to kill that thing. Hey, come on, get to your feet. Why don't you get to your feet right across this place? Put your hand up if you're over 20 years old. Put your hands back down again. Over 30 years old. Put your hands back down again. Over 75 years old. That's all right. This was my point. Emma wouldn't let me continue the illustration, all right? She didn't want to be busted. How many of you know the older you get, the more comfortable you've become with the Hivites? That's why all the young people are like, yeah, I'll kill anything. Yeah, I'll kill it, whatever. Even the good stuff, I'll just kill it. I don't care. Yeah, if we're allowed to kill stuff, I'll kill stuff. But, you know, some of you, like, we're just, come on, let's be honest. Some of us are just like, you know what, you've had that habit for 37 years now. You had it when you were 10. You're 47 now and you're thinking, really? Now? But now? Kill it now? Yeah. Kill it now. Yeah, kill it now. Yeah, why not? Kill it now. Kill it. Why not? Just kill it. Oh, but Pastor Rich has been in my life for so long, it's become like he's a good neighbor. You know what I mean? Like, he's a bit rude sometimes and he's a bit noisy, but he's a good neighbor. You know, we're sort of mates now. Yeah, kill him. I hope no one's recorded. This could be so bad. Kill your neighbor. Guys, don't do it. No, come on, that's the honest truth. And listen, young people, that is the honest truth. There are some people in this room, they're really struggling with killing some stuff. Don't let that be you. Just kill it now. Just kill it. You know, I think I killed most of that sort of stuff in my life, I think even before I was 21, because it's just easier. Because I haven't become accustomed to it. I'm not used to it yet. So I know this is a bit difficult. I know it is. But I want you to get into your promised land. I just desperately want you in there. I want you to be the best partner you can possibly be. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.